8:13 on this Monday morning, getting Thanksgiving week started, and Jeremy Alford joins us now, our friend, editor and publisher of La Politics Weekly, talk about special session. How you doing, Jeremy?
Hey, Tommy. Good morning.
Yeah, did they wrap it up? Is it adjourned or not, or do they wrap it up today?
The session has adjourned sine die.
Yeah.
They completed their work prior to today. They had until today to finish up, but they got done a little bit early.
When you say, I think you're mispronouncing it, it's Sunday, not sine die. I'm just kidding. Let's talk about how you been, first of all. We hadn't spoken to you in a while.
I've been doing great. Just watching this taxation session.
Yeah. Tell me what they wound up doing, and then we'll talk about the politics behind it. How about?
Yeah, kind of the broad strokes, Tommy, is lawmakers voted to reduce income taxes. They abolished the corporate franchise tax, which a lot of folks in business and industry are happy about. And to pay for that, they ended up raising the sales tax rate.
What did they raise it to?
So we're gonna end the graduated individual income tax system that we have now, and it's going to be replaced by a flat 3% rate.
Well, I meant okay.
And also, individual filers are going to be able to triple their standard deductions.
Okay. What? And I guess I asked that wrong. What I meant was, what did they raise the sales tax to?
So the sales tax is the rate's going to go up to 5%. For 5 years, and then it's going to drop down to 4.75%. It looks like the combined average local and state sales tax rate is going to go up to slightly above 10%, which is going to continue to be one of the highest combined rates in the nation. And of course, the argument is that, you know, the folks who are going to be kind of hurt by this the most or kind of the lower income folks who are living in poverty. It seems like the wealthy taxpayers and corporations are going to end up doing a little bit better than other folks will.
So I go by keeping scores as the 0.045 that they had three sessions over, I guess, to get it to that. If we're going to use that as an index, did it go up from that? Did it stay at that, Jeremy?
No, the state sales tax rate is certainly being increased.
So what was it with the 0.045? What was it at? Now it's going up to 5%.
So for folks who don't know, that there was a temporary sales tax, state sales tax that was implemented during the Edwards administration to help handle a temporary shortfall. And lawmakers voted as part of this package to pay for all these changes. They voted to make that increase permanent. So that portion, along with the entire state sales tax rate, is going to go up to 5%.
Okay, let me ask you this way so I understand it. It was a penny. Then they said, let's get rid of it. Then they had a budget cliff, so they made it 0.045 on a dollar. Using that as a scoring sheet, where is it now?
I'm not sure what you're asking me. I'm sorry.
Well, because it was at a penny on a dollar, right? Then they said, no, we need to cut taxes. So they cut taxes and took that off. Then they had a three-session fight to get it to the temporary 0.045 on a dollar that was set to roll off. And that's why they wanted to change the sales tax. So I guess if we're keeping score that way, I'm trying to get, like, using that as an index, what does it go up to?
Well, I mean, it's the state sales tax rate is going to go to 5% under this legislation that was just passed. And it's going to be that way for 5 years.
What was it before? Maybe that'll help me.
Four. I believe it's four.
So it went up from the 0.45 to the full penny that was there before they got rid of it trying to cut taxes. Is that accurate?
I'm not sure, Tommy. I'm having trouble following you a little bit.
Yeah, maybe I'm not expressing it so clearly, but it seems like the conservatives went looking to cut taxes, and they took a penny off. Then they had three special sessions to get it back to 0.45, but now it seems like that penny is back that they got rid of or initially, but maybe I'm wrong on that. What about the inventory tax? What happened there?
So the inventory tax is going to – excuse me. The other big part of this, Tommy, is that there's going to be a constitutional amendment that will be on the ballot in the spring. And it's a very complicated initiative. There are a bunch of different things going on in there, including a permanent $2,000 raise for teachers. One other thing in there is that it will allow parishes to vote on whether or not they want to keep the inventory tax system as is. But, you know, overall, for the most part, Tommy, local government, local officials pretty much got what they wanted. They escaped this session as one of the big winners. But the Landry administration believes that they laid the groundwork with local officials and have put the work in to continue a conversation to try to maybe do some other stuff in the regular session.
So how did it turn out with the inventory tax, Jeremy, where it goes before the voters and then the parish will have the option to opt out if they want or take the one-line payment?
Exactly. That's exactly what it would do.
And what about revenue neutrality on this? Do they wind up plugging whatever holes they had? Do they wind up with a little bit of a surplus? How does that turn out? Do you know?
You know, I think folks are still trying to figure out what that looks like. I do not believe that the package is revenue neutral. And that means that the state would kind of have a wash on in terms of the money that they're giving up and the money that they're bringing in. Exactly how that is addressed, we'll have to see. But I do know that the Landry administration and the legislature intend to consider some substantive budget cuts going into next year. And that's always kind of been part of the formula here is that whatever money the state would have to make up, that it would be addressed in cuts next year.
All right, let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back, talk to Jeremy Alford. We'll dig into some of the politics behind this when we come back. The special session done and over. Sales tax goes up to 5%. I think we were saying the same things differently. It was at 5, then they cut it to 4, then they had to add 0.45 onto it to get it to 4.45. Now it's back to 5. So that's, I think, is where the confusion is. Probably a little bit in the weeds, but I was just curious. We'll take a break, pick it up. We come back, 8:21, traffic now, WWL. 8:26, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to our friend Jeremy Alford, editor and publisher of La Politics Weekly, about the special session that wrapped up on Friday. What happened, Jeremy, before we get to the politics, with the film tax credit?
Well, the film tax credit, there's a pretty good defense that was put up on that. A lot of folks are fond of that tax credit and what it brings to Louisiana. And, you know, there was a push by some to completely eliminate that tax credit, but what ended up happening was that it was shrunk more or less by legislators, and it's not going to have as much kind of bang for the buck that we've seen in the past. But Tommy, it's still on the books, it still exists, and folks are going to be able to use it.
About the taxes that he was going to add on to the different streaming service, I think it was 44 things. Did all of those pass?
So for the most part, the majority of those individual increases were rejected, and they were kind of rejected by the House. The House was going to be the first to vote on kind of this huge expansion of the state sales tax base, and it never really managed to gain momentum. And that was a big piece of this that was supposed to help pay for a lot of these changes, and that is why, Tommy, we ended up seeing an increase in the total state sales tax rate rather than an expansion of what it's applied to.
I guess you got to go through the motions, but I was saying this last week. I'm just a dumb guy from the West Bank, and it seemed like just making the sales tax going back to where it was with the 5% would have been the obvious answer, but I guess you got to go through the motions of it. I'm reading Tyler Bridges' story here, and it says House and Senate breezed through the long list of tax bills Friday. Democrats showing no fight. None went to the microphone to voice their concerns. Is that because they knew they were licked, Jeremy, or did they like the program, or is there any way to tell?
I mean, I think there was a lot of willing and dealing with this session. Mm-hmm. I think there were a lot of promises made, and I think the Landry administration bent over backwards to make sure folks were comfortable with their votes. I think that's one of the reasons you saw some of the other non-tax related items on the special session call or the agenda was to try to get people comfortable with their votes. So, you know, I think that's a big reason why you saw that.
So when it comes to political winners, political losers, keeping a scorecard, who won, who lost, tie?
You know, I think local officials walked away as big winners. They escaped what could have been kind of damage to the way that they do business. It proved once again that local officials usually get their way. The other big winner could possibly be Jeff Landry, but we got to remember that even though the special session is done, Tommy, and even though Jeff Landry is taking his victory lap, there's still a major part of this that has to be approved on the ballot in the spring.
And just to recap, that part is the
it is a multi-package amendment targeting Article 7 of the Constitution. It includes everything from teacher pay to the inventory tax. Is very complicated.
Generally speaking, how do voters react to those kind of things? Do you know?
I think this has a pretty good chance of passing, and I think we're going to see a lot of money put behind an effort to educate voters about it.
Gotcha. Thank you, Jeremy. Appreciate your time. Have a nice Thanksgiving.
You too.
Jeremy Alford, editor-publisher of La Politics Weekly. We'll take a break. Talk to Jacob Rose, state representative. Traffic in Belchase was a nightmare this weekend. We'll talk about the Belchase Bridge debacle right now. Time for WWL First News. 8:45, quarter till 9. Next guest, graduate of Loyola, LSU, Loyola Law, representing Belchase, Jacob Rowe, representative, an accomplished attorney. How you doing, Jacob?
Pretty good. Tommy, how you doing yourself?
I'm okay, sir. I hadn't spoken to you yet, I don't think. Is it Jake or Jacob? What do people call you?
Jacob. Go by Jacob.
All right,
yeah.
Jacob. Let's talk about the, man, this mess with the Belchase Bridge. I don't even know where to begin. And like you, I know, I think you live in Belchase, don't you?
Oh, yeah, I live in Belchase. Grew up here. Family's been down here a long, long time.
So, you know,
I work in Belchase.
So you know what it's like. You get on the road, and you think you're going to hop on Belchase Highway between the LNG plant and between the traffic and between the bridge disaster this weekend. It's not very pleasant. What's going on with the bridge?
So, it's very disappointing, the project in itself, right? So both of the land approaches on both the north approach and the south approach have settlement issues or subsidence issues. One side's settled over 9 inches and the other side settled over 6 inches is what we've learned in committee up in Baton Rouge, which has caused a very significant delay in the project. It's just an overall disappointment, especially considering that per the contract that the contractor plenary had with the state, is that the bridge was supposed to be finished no later than April 13th of this year. Mm-hmm. So, and of course, this is in conjunction with where we have literally the world's largest construction project going on down here in Plaquemines right now. Mm-hmm. It's a $21 billion plus project going on probably about 25 on a normal drive, right? Probably about 25 minutes south of Belchase. And, that project brings in 7,000 workers daily, two-thirds of which I'm told live on the West Jefferson. So they're using this bridge, which is turned into a construction site, which is now we're going, into extreme delays.
My kid had an idea. Somebody takes aerial photography, that they should take an aerial picture in the morning of the traffic arriving, because it probably would change the skyline and the light pollution, whatever you want to call it. I don't mean a negative way, but you understand what I'm saying? Just where you could see it from space, I would think, with all those cars. So let me ask you this. That's one side of the bridge. The side that's open now, what do they know about that in terms of subsidence, on-ramps, off-ramps, et cetera?
Well, it's both sides. So they're going to repair one side and then do the next side. So it's
so
the
what we're driving on,
of...
So what we're driving on now, they're going to tear up after they fix
correct
what they didn't do right the first time?
Correct. Hmm. So that's my understanding. So all that's going to be jackhammered out. I've gotten calls and complaints to my, office where, debris, because, you're driving right by it, right? It's hit some people's cars and what's not. It's one disappointment after another, to be honest with you.
So What kind of timeline are you looking at? Because I guess for whatever reason, I thought the side we were driving on now was okay, and it was just the other side. But then to think that now they're going to start doing everything they're doing on the other side, on the side that we're driving on now, what is the target of completion for this? Do you have any idea? What is Plenary telling you?
Yeah, so they're telling us that it'll be sometime in March. We didn't get a date specific or anything like that. They're just telling us March. I would hope that they want to get this completed as soon as possible because, as far as I understand it, they're basically losing money three ways right now.
Good. When it comes to the traffic with the LNG plant and all the people that are coming to the parish every day, the parish is getting something out of that, Jacob, besides a long-term investment in between now and then, or are we just a throughway?
Well, yeah, the parish has very high sales tax revenues right now, this is year three of the construction, and I don't mean to get you more disappointed, but I think there's another 2 years of construction left on the project. So the parish is getting substantial sales tax revenue, both the parish and the school board, which is good, and that's a good thing. And there's a ton of jobs. Especially if you have rental property right now, you can probably get whatever price you want. Mm-hmm. I think it's even pretty good to own rental property in West Jefferson as well. So there's definitely some benefits, but at the same time, as the traffic, it just puts Belle Chasse as a community at a complete standstill, basically from about 2:30, 3 o'clock to about 7 o'clock every day, because I'm sure I experience it. I've got a law firm right there on 23 right across from the YMCA. I can't meet clients in the afternoon. You just can't, because you don't know when they'll show up or if they can show up. It's very disappointing.
I'm by the high school, Jacob. I'm not that far away from you, so I feel your pain. Let's talk. Let me take a break. We come back. I want to talk about the overall deal with, I think y'all had a hearing on Friday, right?
Yes. Yeah. Thursday.
And we'll talk about long-range terms with tolls and private-public partnership, and did Plaquemines get screwed on this deal or not, to put it in layman's terms. Jacob Bro, an accomplished attorney, our guest representative from Belle Chasse. Smart guy. Maybe he can get us out of this toll mess. 851, 9 till 9. Traffic now, WWL. 856, 4 till 9. Tommy Tucker back with Jacob Bro, state representative from Belle Chasse, talking about the Belle Chasse Bridge and the follow-ups in the construction. Jacob, when it comes to the tolls and the deal, the private-public partnership, is that what it is? And no matter who promises what, it's a contract signed between the state and that company, and there's no going back?
So, we're basically burdened with this contract. It was the first of its kind in the state of Louisiana, P3 referencing public-private partnership. And in lack of a better term, we're kind of stuck with it. But at the same time, myself and as well as Senator Connick, he's been very helpful too. We're trying to do the best we can for our constituents and really for the state of Louisiana as well to try and make the best of what's become a very difficult and, bad situation. I guess one of the good news items from that contract is that there are $10,000 in liquidated damages that will be assessed against the contractor, dating back to April 13th of this year. Further good news in that is that I was able to get some successful legislation this last session where those monies will be basically have to go through the Plaquemines delegation, myself and Senator Connick, and then before DOTD could spend those monies on anything else, and those monies would be dedicated to either lowering the existing tolls or an early buyback, or even money could be put towards an alternative facility, which would be that Peters Road Bridge, which we desperately need with all the industrial activity we have going on down here, as well as future proposed industrial activity. So there's a lot to it. I could probably talk to you about it all day, especially the particulars in that contract. Mm-hmm. But we're trying to do with it the best we can. And that's what we're trying to move forward, really. And we need that second bridge.
To be clear, Plaquemines was not a signatory to that contract. To that contract, were they?
No, it is a state contract with DOTD. And that's been kind of another frustrating thing from being the state rep, right? Plenary sees DOTD as their client, and that's who they answer to more than anyone, right? So, but then at the same time, you know, obviously the legislature has oversight at DOTD. So it's a very interesting arrangement. You know, we were, again, the first in the state of Louisiana to have this. There is a second P3 in the state of Louisiana. The Calcasieu I-10 bridge will be the second one. I believe construction on that, if it's not started, it's starting soon. So, you know, I'm new to the legislature up there. You know, I'm only 10 months in. But, you know, we will be, or I will definitely be, very much overseeing these P3 contracts and how these things are dealt with in the future. And then hopefully, you know, to get some remedy for the people down here in Plaquemines with what we have.
Yeah, I think that's another thing, Jacob, is that, okay, if that's the New Deal going forward, it's the New Deal going forward for everybody in the state, not just us, right?
That's the intention. You know, the word in Baton Rouge is that the, you know, how they always talk about a Baton Rouge loop and whatnot, a second Baton Rouge bridge, that will likely be another P3 project. You know, these are the Calcasieu Bridge itself, that's a $2.1 billion project. So, you know, hopefully the state's learning and taking note from what's going on down here in Plaquemines, because as you know, and we both know, living a day-to-day, it's not been a good experience.
No, it's not. Thank you, Jake. Appreciate your time. Jacob Rose, state representative. Next time we'll talk about Mid-Bear Terrier sediment diversion. We come back, we're going to lighten up. We're talking Mr. Manners, keeping you polite throughout this holiday season. We'll spend an hour. Stay with us. Tommy Tucker, WWL.